Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of June 27th, 2011. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Brian.
Goodbye.
From Bizarro World, apparently. And Chris.
Hello?
See, that's the correct way to say it.
Okay. I didn't know. Hello, goodbye. I confused the two like Brian.
And,
Well, you say hello, I say goodbye. Get it?
Beatles, haha. So, and Joe might be on later. We don't know. You tried to call someone's car, but
they probably with special guest Joe, maybe.
That probably wouldn't be a good idea to podcast from your car. No. Although it would be like kind of like a throwback to like when Charlie called us from the streets of Chicago. Remember that, guys?
I remember Charlie, but then like he kind of magically disappeared in Chicago. Was never heard of him again.
So, I think we got a pretty awesome show. We got a ton of trailers to talk about this week. We got some bunch of news. But I want to kick it off like we usually do with show and tell. And Brian, why don't you kick it off since you haven't been here in another week?
I just have one thing to talk about, and that's I saw Morning Glory with Rachel McAdams
wow.
And Harrison Ford. All right, hold it. It wasn't terrible. It was a chick flick. It was sappy. But Harrison Ford is actually awesome in this movie. Because he plays like this huge curmudgeon and a complete asshole. Like he's, you know, usually he plays like, you know, he does his like indie roles or he does his like where's my wife roles. But this one
I miss where's my wife Harrison Ford.
He actually does somebody different. He plays like a hard ass Stone Phillips Dan Rather type who's forced to do the morning news, and he's actually really funny. And the movie itself is actually really funny. It has I've actually laughed out loud at some of the scenes in it. So if you're looking to find a movie to watch with a lady friend and you like Harrison Ford, of course, Rachel McAdams is in it, of course, and I could give her take. But Jeff Goldblum's in it too, so yeah, check it out. And also want to talk about the new episodes of Futurama mm-hmm. that started up. They were pretty good. I was talking to Zach before we started recording about how they've kind of dipped into the weird, more weird, since they started airing on Comedy Central. The whole gender switching got cringeworthy at times, but it's still pretty damn funny. And I like to see where they're going this season. When they, the last season or the half season that they did, the previous one, there are a couple of lackluster episodes, like the cat episode wasn't that great.
Yeah.
The mutants one could have been a bit better.
There's awesome ones in there too, like the iPad. I can't remember what they're calling it, like the II or something. Like,
yeah, the iPad
the iPhone
or whatever.
In your eye.
The iPhone in your eye. That one was pretty good, and you know, it's the Twitter thing that they ripped on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was pretty good, and I'm kind of excited to see where they're gonna go this season.
The only thing about like the gender one was like they say the gender switching for like, the last 5 minutes. And they probably could do like the whole episode of that, but
yeah, I know, especially when they were like showing the clip of part of it on the Comedy Central website, mm-hmm. and they're touting it as like they switched genders, but yeah, it doesn't really happen until the end. But I actually kind of thought the whole thing with the rock alien teaching them how to
the rock alien was great.
How to live without gender, and then at the end he's supposed to switch him back and Zap kills him. That was pretty mm-hmm. funny.
Also, it was like the whole attitude of like, well, we're going to find out what gender is best or something. I don't really care.
Yeah, so it was good.
Mm-hmm. And then like the one where Bender like makes copies of himself.
Yeah, which is like a kind of a rip on nanotechnology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Turns all the water on Earth into alcohol.
Yep. And everybody's drunk. And Patton Oswalt as the big, ugly alien.
Yeah.
Giant guy. So yeah, worth your time if you're a Futurama fan.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, what have you been watching?
I was with Joe this weekend, and he recommended me to watch... we watched 10 to Midnight.
Okay.
It's a Bronson movie. And it's from... it's still, like, in his killing years, where, like, you know, he's a cop this time, so he's not as a vigilante. It's about this killer who kind of dexters his way to killing all these, like, girls who, like, make fun of him. And he does it by being naked. Like, he gets butt naked, and he wears, like, surgical gloves, and he kills them with, like, a single-edge razor.
Okay.
And it's such a crazy movie, because it's made, like, in the, I think, like, early 80s, like, 81, before forensic science was, like, really, like, getting started. Like, getting to be more, like, technical and modernized. So, like, the killer's logic is that if he's naked, he can't leave any, like, clues or, like... any DNA or anything.
Probably more clues, actually.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's like, everything he's doing kind of made sense back then. Like, he does this really, like, it opens up this where, the killer, goes to a movie theater and hassles people, so, like, people know he's there, so it makes an alibi. Then he goes out into, like, the woods and kills people, and then he comes back at the end of the movie, and he's just like, what's up, baby? You want to sit on my lap? And, like, you know, very... very, like, early murder mystery, or like, oh, I get it. He's like a really good or, like, competent serial killer, kind of. But, like, by the end of the movie, Bronson's kind of like, eh, I know what you did. Fucker, you know, it's like, is Bronson, like, stroking his mustache? He's like, you're the killer, aren't you? And Joe does it better than me, but it's his best part of the movie when Bronson investigates the killer's, like, house and goes through his stuff and goes through his porn collection. And he finds a homemade, like, sex toy. Like, this is the movie just goes, like, out the window at this point. Bronson's, like, he bags, like, the sex toy for evidence. And he, later when, like, he tries to bring enough evidence against the killer. But, like, the weird thing in those movies, like, it's not a typical, like, cat and mouse kind of thriller. Because, you know, Bronson don't play like that. Because, think about it, Bronson movies don't end with, like... like, oh, it was you all along. Like, I shouldn't have known. It doesn't end like that. Bronson movies are like, I'm reloading my gun. Like, you find out the guy's the killer, like, in the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then you see his, like, daily life. And then you see Bronson's daily life. And then you see where they, like, they combine. And then from, like, that point on, the movie's just Bronson fucking with this dude. And so, like, he brings up the sex story later on in the movie and goes, like, you know what this is for? It's for jicking off.
Oh, my God.
And, like, he's, like, wagging the sex toy in front of, like, the dude's lawyer, the killer, like, everyone in the room. And I'm just like, it is such a wacky time to get caught for being a pervert. Like, for some strange reason, like, Bronson associates with him being a pervert to a killer. Like, there's no, like, deductive reasoning. It's just, yeah, you're a pervert, and you jerk off a lot. You're the killer, aren't you? And, like, yeah, it turns out he was, but, you know, in a different time, like, that's not enough evidence to connect the clues.
It's like the entire internet today. Hmm? It's like the entire internet would be the killer today.
Yeah, pervert. You're jicking off too much.
You're the killer. Every single person on, like, 4chan or something.
Kind of, but it's kind of, like, weird, because the dude lives, like, such a douchey life. Like, the opening scene is him, like, getting ready to, like, plan his attack, and there's a giant black-white picture of the killer, like, in a karate gi on a mountain. I'm just like, holy shit, I kind of want that. Like, if you ever go, like, to look empowering, if someone comes to, like, your office or, like, your house to, like, to do something, don't you want just, like, a, besides, like, a self-portrait of, like, you in a suit, don't you want something, like, else, like, besides, like, wrestling a bull, or, like, punching a bear, just you in a karate gi, like, on a mountain, like, in a pose? And I'm just like, no. I go to Joe, I'm like, dude, the fuck is this? Like, is this, like, that's kind of, like, weird, because the dude's super white, and so it's, like, I just want to see the words, like, karate underneath the picture. And it just, like, Joe turns to me and goes, the 80s was the time when karate was, like, mystical and unknown. Mm-hmm. So just, like, the fact that you know karate was just, like, ooh. And I was, like, fuck the 80s, man. Anyone in a fucking, like, robe could have been, like, a karate master. No proof! Like, the dude is not a karate master at all, because Bronson, like, smacks him around a couple times. And, you know, Bronson at this point is, like, 60, so he's not exactly, like, a big, big threat, but it's just like you're being hassled by a dude just like with Bronson. I mean, Bronson's fucking scary. Because in this movie, like, he fucks with a killer for a while. And like, it's a decent movie up until the last 10 minutes, where like it just everything that Bronson like stood for like goes to hell. Joe's better explaining it because like I kept laughing and drinking during the movie. It's definitely like a definite like if you love Bronson, you'll love 10 to Midnight. It doesn't really make sense why they call it 10 to Midnight though. Because the dude like kills at random times and he's just naked. Like you just like before he kills at least like 4 people and he just gets naked and hides in closets and pops out and kills them and then like goes home and like I don't know, does more poses for his camera. I'm not kidding, like the 80s is such a wacky time for forensics, just like, my god, like we can't figure out what happened here. It's like the Bronson is like, eh, the guy's a pervert. Yeah, I know who this dude is. And then
is it not instant watch, Chris?
Yeah, it is. Oh, definitely awesome. Check it out. It's definitely like it's not like The Mechanic where he plans his murders and stuff. Like Bronson just kind of walks around this movie, so like I'm just gonna do this. The guy's not gonna like he like you know Bronson's tactics are like really not methodical. They're just like I'm gonna fart in his car and close it, let it bake, son. And then I saw Unknown, which is kind of like Taken, except the dude can't remember what he did.
Yeah.
It's kind of like The Bourne Identity, but I've seen The Bourne Identity. That's a better movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys talked about it once, right?
I saw it when it came out in theaters.
I haven't seen
it. There's a review of it on everythingaction.com.
If you like the character, like the same character from Taken, it's basically the same character, except he can't remember what's going on, and he's in Germany instead of France.
Yeah.
And January Jones, holy shit.
Continue.
Oh, man.
This is the first taste of, like... Yeah, she's not a very good actress.
No, this is like, go back to Mad Men and, like, smoke some more or something. It's pretty much her just like, you're not my husband.
Huh?
It's a perfect role for, like, an idiot wife to forget who her husband is, but on that, like no. She convinced me as the most, like, it's not like, I'm not, like, you know, there's no suspense or thrills. I don't even care if the dude remembers him being his wife or something. I just, like, just no more of her. I was more interested in, like, Cab Driver. The Cab Driver had more personality than, like...
Yeah.
Than, like, January Jones.
And, like, the crazy, like, German, like, old private investigator guy. Dude? Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was an interesting character. You know, I saw that character and was like, yes, this is, like, this is going to be a good movie. Because up to that point, like, it was just Ian Neeson just kind of like, my head, ow.
I'm flashes. Doctor... I remember having sex with January Jones in the shower. That's all I remember.
But then, like, you can't fully remember it. Just, like, after that, it goes dark. I'm like, well, I guess after having sex with her, like, everything else goes dark for a while. I wouldn't mind, but just, I get hear her talk. Because in the movie, it's just like, I love you. It's like, I can't tell if she's joking. Like, you know, you can tell when certain, it's like a thriller spy-ish movie, so you can't tell if, like, they're acting or, like, they're playing a role. This movie, I just have no idea, like, what she's doing in this movie at all. It's like, wow, she's a good spy, because I can't tell emotions.
she's a robot.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, I see why, like, she's a good spy or something, but then it's like, I can't tell, like, what the fuck's going on.
A couple good action sequences, isn't it?
You know...
Not, like, nowhere near as Taken, but...
Yeah, Taken had, like, a lot of miniature action scenes that were, like, awesome, because you didn't suspect him. He just, like, Neeson's just kind of, like, getting a hot dog, and he just punches a dude's rib in.
Yeah.
He's like, ah!
Well, I'm going to tie you to this chair and electrocute you with the light bulb.
The torture scenes were intense and Taken, yeah. But, like, I was expecting something like that, where, like, he, like... I'm like, not to spoil anything, but he doesn't kill anyone. Like, for the longest time in this movie, I discovered that, like, every other actor has more kills than he does in this movie.
Yeah, it's definitely more thriller than action thriller.
Yeah, it's definitely like one of those throwbacks to like a Hitchcock kind of movie where the main character kind of like gets scared and runs away a lot. Like, that's what half this movie is. And then near the end, he's just kind of like, oh, no, throw a punch.
I'm remembering things.
if you think about it, in that last sequence, it's really unfair at that point because there was an explosion and everyone's dusty and the dude's plan's failing and he's just kind of like, and then Mason's like, ah, I didn't forget everything. And just, he beats him with like random objects in that room. So that's not really skill. That's just kind of like survival instincts kind of kicking in there. So I was just like, that's it?
I love how the whole thing revolves around Korn too.
Yeah, they don't really explain like where it can grow and stuff, and like besides the Saudi Arabians kind of like, you know, Frankenstein Korn is evil. Like there's no other opposition. You know, like it's kind of like one group. Mm-hmm. I did like the evil prince or like the dude like funding the Korn project.
Yeah,
he had like a whole entourage of bitches. Like, entering the hotel and everyone's pulling up in a Ferrari or other sports car. And it's like just him as one dude, and he has like 9 different like models come out.
It's that Korn money.
Yeah, well, it's all that Korn money. I did like more about that scientist with his daughters who had like that really bad fetish with flowers.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this dude, it's like Mr. Scientist. He's just like, I grow plants. I'm a botanist, and like I name my daughters after plants. Like, dude, get a life. Like, did your wife leave you because of this? That dude had an obsession of Korn, like obsession of like a lot of plant life, and like his laptop. Remember that scene? We got nervous at it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I can't be without my laptop. Like, really? You're at a fucking party.
Have a drink.
Yeah, calm down. Jeremy Jones is just like awkwardly talking to you. Can I take your laptop?
The confused look on her face.
Yeah, like, do you know what a laptop is? You're not supposed to like sit on it. So.
Yeah. So it was all right.
It was all right, but I wouldn't watch it like twice because once you know the twist is, like it just kind of like that's it.
Mm-hmm. Then gave it like a 3.5 on the website.
That's appropriate. Like it's a good. I can't even say it's a good thriller because there's no thrills. It's kind of him like, come on, remember something? Did you write something down? What kind of fucking guy are you? It's weird how they introduce characters in that movie. You know, it's just kind of like, and this guy shows up, and then this guy shows up. Like, I felt bad for that one, like, black German cabbie who helps the other cabbie with, like, another car.
Yeah.
And he just winds up dead. Like, there's no explanation, just dead. Like, oh. Okay, now we'll move on from this. And another thing I'm realizing between Jason Bourne movies, Taken, and this is that, like, everywhere in the Eastern European world, no one really gets, like safety locks for their cars. Like, there's no club. There's no, like, you know, there's that, like, the stick. There's no, you could break into a car and just steal it. There's no other depth of protection. As long as you get between the windshield or something and that steering wheel, that's it. The car is yours for the rest of the movie until, like, some other car hits it that's probably stolen.
Why does he have keys if he just has, like, a button you press?
I just really realized that. Like, Jason Bourne steals a car like that. Mm-hmm. Like, Taken, the dude, he just walks into cars. You know, oh, my car now. And, like, in this movie, just cars are just like, oh, what's that? And the driver's like, what? Let me get out and look completely to, like, the opposite side from you.
It's all right. I'm American.
So, apparently, Americans have, like, a natural instinct to steal cars. Like, it's so easy for us. Like, I can't imagine doing that, but... just even the cabbie steals a car. That was hilarious, where it's like, she steals a car from a cabbie.
Mm-hmm. She is a cabbie.
And she is a cabbie, so it's like, oh.
Ironic.
And that's all I saw. So what about you? What did you see?
I saw a bunch of TV this past week. Because, like, all the summer shows are starting up. So, Burn Notice started up last week. And
nice.
And I know, like, pretty much everyone's behind, so I don't really want to spoil anything. But I thought it was...
Is he still in Florida?
They actually went to Venezuela for this episode.
It's kind of like Cuba, which is kind of like Miami. What?
was Michael Ironside there for, like, 3 seconds?
No, he's already dead. He got blown to pieces.
He's into it?
Zombie Michael Ironside showed up.
Oh, man.
That's another thing I liked about X-Men First Class. Michael Ironside was in there.
Yes.
There's a ton of that guys in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Albert Platt and, like, Ray Wise and a bunch of other people.
Yeah. Glenn Morshower.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, move on.
Yeah, so Bruno, it picks up 6 months after season four ended, and Michael's been pretty busy during those 6 months, so... Because there's a pretty awesome montage in, like, in the beginning of the episode, and then they have to go to, like, he and Sam and Fee have to go to Venezuela to, like, catch this guy. And Michael has to, like, do a hilariously bad Russian accent.
I always love his accents. They make no sense, but they're just there.
I am Russian. Let's have some vodka.
I always love his Irish one or his redneck
one. I love his Irish one. I think it was, what was it? He's like Michael McFinn or something, or Michael McFiggin.
I forget. I always forget, like, the names. He's just, oh, it's, I guess it's, like, redneck time, or, like, oh, I'm not from around here. You're really tan for some dude from Ireland.
Or, like, Italian guy. Italian guy from New Jersey.
I always like that. He's, like, gold chain and, like, black polo. Slick back hair.
Yeah. And, like, Sam never does an accent.
Nope.
Sam just there. That's Chuck Finley. See, it was pretty awesome to start the season. I don't really know where they're going, because, like, the end of the episode was just like, and I guess we're going to go back to normal or something. But I hope they kind of keep away from the, like, not as much clients, because that, like, the client stuff sort of, like, bogs down after a while. Because you can only do, like, so many different, like, variations of, like, the client of the week.
Well, you can always get, like, his mom, who just needs a favor.
Yeah, well, so it's like the A-team syndrome of, like, let's help these urban youth save the rec center again this week. And then I also saw the first three episodes of Falling Skies, you know, the new TNT show.
Yeah, I actually saw an episode, so I kind of am on level with that.
Which one did you see, Chris, like the first episode?
I saw the one where they figure out that they rip the thing off the kids, like, they die.
Oh, that was, like, was that last week?
Yeah.
That was the third episode.
Yeah, I saw the third episode then, where, like, the dude they put in, like, confinement, he volunteers to be the new cook.
Yeah, that's the third episode.
I'm surprised, you know, there's a whole facility full of women in there, and they just, no one cooks. So they made, like, the badass biker guy from jail the cook. Mm-hmm. I'm like, come on.
Well, he was, like, in the second episode, he was, like, the sort of, like, typical, like, post-apocalyptic, like, renegade, like, bandit leader.
I don't make my own rules. I don't follow them.
It's like, society's ripe for picking now for me. Now that the government's gone. Yeah, he captured, like, the our group in the second episode and held them in, like, this, like, in the school that they're in now. So then, like, the military, like, our, like, the resistance people took over the school as their new base.
The other thing I feel about the show is that it reminds me of Terminator Salvation. It's, like, either, it's, like, a kind of a mixed feeling about it.
I kind of know what it reminds me of. It's, like, Jericho. You know, you guys remember the show Jericho?
Yeah.
It's, like, that plus War of the Worlds. Except, like,
yeah, I could see that.
The aliens didn't die from, like, a disease. They just, like, they took over the planet.
I just need Michael Ironside popping in this one, too.
Wait, what is he in?
I just got done off of... just got killed and burned out. Might as well, like, shimmy my way into this show.
Is his character...
He fits right in as, like, some, like, kind of old general.
Well, I like the dude, like, the... I've seen that dude before, like, the Captain Weaver. Like, the badass, like, leader.
The guy looks like he fought in WW2?
Yeah. Like, the kind of guy who call people Nancys all the time and stuff. And Noah Wiley's pretty good too. Like how?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised about that.
I like how he's like a history teacher before the whole war started, and then he's like constantly quoting like his historical facts about like battles and stuff.
So is there a reason why he can like fire pretty well for like a history teacher? If you give like the average teacher a gun, like he's gonna freak out.
I think it's
because
like it's been like months since the aliens invaded, so he just like from practice because he joined the resistance.
Okay.
Because then they say it's, like, it's been, like, I don't know, like, a year, like, 6 months, a year since the aliens invaded. Special effects for the aliens are pretty good in the show, too, I thought.
They're, like, sci-fi quality.
Yeah.
I mean, what do I expect on, like, TNT, so.
Well, I'd say, like, not as bad as sci-fi, but, like, not as good as, like, you could get, like, Fox or, like, one of the major networks. The mechs are kind of weird. You see the mechs, Chris?
Yeah, like, wait, the alien mechs? They just, like, walk around, like,
yeah.
Was it the Piped?
They don't look as good as, like, the actual aliens, but... I don't know, it seems like a solid show. It's not going to, like, redefine the sci-fi or, like, TV shows, but it's a good, solid show. And for movies, so this one, the first movie I'm going to talk about needs a little explanation, because I don't want to say, like, I just, like, started watching this movie, but I was flipping through, like, my on-demand, like, because my cable has, like, all these free movies, and they divide it by network. So I was flipping through, and I see, like, Lifetime, and I see, like, Last Man Standing. I'm like, is that the Bruce Willis movie? So I went up to see the description of it. I'm like, holy shit, this is that Lifetime action movie they made. So I watched that. And it's about as good as a Lifetime action movie would be, which is not that good.
Last Man Standing was a Lifetime movie?
Well, they called it, like, I guess it was called Close Quarters before. But then they renamed it The Last Man Standing.
Hmm.
But so, because there was that Bruce Willis movie, Last Man Standing. I thought, like, maybe they were, like, showing it on Lifetime Network for some reason.
Oh, it's a different movie?
Yeah, it's got
Oh, see, I thought it was the Bruce Willis movie on Lifetime. I was like, there was, like, four women. They all get abused.
Yeah. One's a whore and stuff.
One loses an ear. One goes to church a lot. One cries. One gets, like, gang raped. Like, it's all the things a Lifetime movie is, granted, but...
So Christopher Walken's there.
Yeah. The dude from Chicago or something.
And people are shooting, like insane amount of bullets that are physically impossible to shoot. But no, this is, like, I think we talked about it a couple months ago, like, Lifetime was making an action movie, like, an original movie. Starring, Catherine Bell.
The Terminator?
No, from JAG.
So
she's like this ex-Special Forces soldier. And her husband gets kidnapped by like someone who... she's in this group that has like... It was three people in like the Special Forces group. Her and two other people. And like one of them is killed. So then like... So this guy calls her and like... You have to break into this guy's company that he built and like steal his money. Or else we're going to kill your husband. So then she's, like, running around, like, breaks into his office and hacks into his computer. And, like, steals, like, $2 million and transfers it to them. And but it's, like, the most cliche action movie ever. Like, cliche, like, kidnapping movie you could possibly imagine. And, like, you can tell they had, like, no budget for this movie, too. Like, the major car chase takes place in, like, an abandoned parking lot with, like, two cars. And, like, all the sets are, like, generic office buildings.
Behind back alleys.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, they spend, like, half the movie just, like, flashing back to, like, Operation Mongoose that she was on in Afghanistan. But it's, like, it's the stupid, like, they're, like, trying to, like, arrest this guy and then, like, they, like, bring him to, like, the safe house, but then, his wife and daughter get kidnapped, and they have to, like, go rescue him, and, like, they got blown up in the building. And then it turns out that, like, Catherine Bell's part, like, her two partners were, like, they got paid off to, like, kill that guy. So the one guy killed the other guy, so that guy, her friend's been showing up, like, for the whole movie. And, like, clearly since there's three people in the squad, like, one of them is the bad guy. So, yeah, it's not surprising that he's the bad guy at the end.
Does he even look like the bad guy? Or is he just, like, that normal guy?
I mean, it's pretty...
In movies like that, they make one dude, like, evil. Like, super evil to make him obvious.
He's slightly shady, I would say.
Does he wear a lot of black?
He is black.
That's right. Oh, God.
I guess you could say that he does wear a lot of black.
I didn't know. I didn't see this movie.
But, like, he used, like, a voice, like, one of those, like, voice... modulators, but you can tell it's his voice.
It's like the same tone.
Yeah.
It just distorted.
Yeah, distorted. And then, like, he's like, if you need any help, let me know. So, yeah, that was a terrible movie. Oh, Anthony Michael Hall is in it, too, for some reason, as, like, Catherine Bell's husband that gets kidnapped. And then, last thing I watched, I knocked another movie off my list of shame this week, and I saw The Professional, finally.
Wait, the old Professional?
Yeah, Leon.
Wow.
I saw it a long time ago.
Yep, I never actually saw the whole thing, so...
Good movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a very good movie.
Gary Oldman in classic Gary Oldman 90s bad guy mode.
It's great, because he's probably walked on another set from, like, another bad guy role.
Probably. He was on his way to, like, Air Force One or something. Or, like, what... was, like, True Romance and Air Force One and...
Lost in Space.
Yeah, Fifth Element. I still, like, the best part is, like, he clearly takes, like, these, like, crazy pills before he starts killing people.
Oh, and he cracks them real loud?
Yeah,
oh,
and he's like a spasm when he eats them. And starts, like, ranting about, like, Beethoven and Mozart and stuff.
It's the classic villain archetype, where if you're, like, insane, you love classical music.
Mm-hmm. It's also, like, clearly that, like, Leon is, like, the inspiration for the Hitman games, because, like, I can see, like, a ton of Hitman references in this movie. Like the end where, like, he dresses up like the cop to try to escape and stuff.
Yep. Or, his rules.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, like, everyone thinks he's Italian.
Yeah.
Well, because it's like, oh, the Italian. He's like, he's really French, but yeah, whatever.
He's very French. The whole movie's very French.
What about the underlying pedophilia kind of love? It's not really, you know, it's not really pedophilic, but it's still kind of creepy to watch, like, a young Natalie Portman kind of, like, hit on.
Yeah.
John Ringo, and just kind of like, oh, creepy.
Mm. But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. No doubt. Great action scenes.
Luc Besson.
Gotta love him.
Mm-hmm. So that's all that I've been watching for the last week. So why don't we get to news? And, man, we have a ton of trailers to talk about this week. I don't know, just because, like, Transformers is coming out and, like, a bunch of the big movies are coming out, but there's a ton of trailers. So why don't we kick it off with the trailer for a movie we talked about a couple weeks ago, Killer Elite, the new Jason Statham, Clive Owen movie. We actually got a trailer for that now. Did either of you guys watch this?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think, Ryan?
Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You got Statham there, and you also got Clive Owen rocking the badass mustache.
The evil stash.
The evil stash. And it looks like De Niro gets in on the action as well.
With his crazy, like, Saddam Hussein beard.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this one.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to see it, Chris?
Nope.
You should watch it sometime.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, I still can't make Clive Owen as a bad guy. It's still, like, in my head, that seems weird.
Well, he was a bad guy in Born Identity.
Yeah, but he sucked in that one. Like, he's kind of like, I'm gonna, oh, I'm just
he's like
died.
The professor, like, right. Or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but this movie looks, it's freaking badass. Like, the beginning where, like, Jason Statham's, like, tied to the chair, and, like, he flips the chair up to, like, slam it out against Clive Owen.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then, like, it ends with, like, Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yeah, I like that movie, the music choice, too.
Which, and then I saw, like, on Twitter, like, people were, like, making, like, puns on it, like, Rock You Like a Statham Kane and stuff. Statham You Like a Hurricane.
Statham Like a Hurricane.
Mm-hmm. So that is out in September, so. And I think it's the guy's first, like, the director's first, like, movie. I guess he directed, like, an Oscar-nominated short film before, but this is, like, his first actual movie.
Nice. New blood.
Mm-hmm. And Statham can never do any wrong, so...
At this point, no.
And so, next trailer is the teaser trailer for Brave, which is Pixar's next movie. I guess it was obviously before Cars 2, which I've heard was, like, one of the only two highlights of watching that movie. that and like Toy Story 3 short film before it too. But
what? There's a Toy Story 3 short film?
Yep. Hawaii Vacation.
Aw, I don't want to waste my money to watch that yet.
We're like Ken and Barbie want to go on vacation with like their new whatever her name is, the new owner, but she leaves them behind. So like all the toys like make Hawaii in their bedroom.
Hmm.
But anyway, Brave. Yeah. They're set in Ireland, and it's about this like Irish princess who like.
No, it's set in Scotland.
Scotland,
actually.
Yeah, okay. But she is right here, which is kind of confusing.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, she is Princess Meridia, I think is her name, and then she's just like going around having adventures, fighting bears apparently in the trailer.
They have nothing to do in Scotland, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, it gets colder too. Yeah, like, you have like bearskin coats and stuff. So did you guys watch this one?
Yeah, I did. And it doesn't really give you much of an impression. I'm waiting for the full trailer.
Yeah.
But it looks good so far, I guess.
She looked really, like, I don't know if you guys ever see Coraline?
Yeah.
She looked, like, identical to Coraline, except, like, with, like, red hair.
kinda,
like,
I guess.
Sort of like this, the art style of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just, like, she's hunting a bear, and then this whole trailer. Some guy's talking about, like, how Scotland is, like, crazy with magic and stuff.
Yep. Pretty epic.
It's just oozing. They just have all this Celtic. Oh, is it Celts? Is that Irish or Scottish?
Celtic.
I think it's Irish.
Celtic is Irish.
I'm blending things together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Scotland has Nessie.
And of course I believe it's got Billy Connolly in it, right?
And Craig Ferguson.
So.
All your Scottish actors are in it. And hopefully it'll be better received than Cars 2 was. Pixar's first ride.
Well, it's original. It's an original film, yeah. So.
I think Cars 2 was just like a rare misstep for them.
Definitely. Well, I think it is.
It was a gamble. Like, thank God they announced Brave, like, right as Cars 2 was kind of bombing. Because they're like, okay, we'll make up for this.
The Monday after Cars 2 came out. It's like, here's a teaser trailer for Brave.
Well, they do that every year. They do that every year. They always put a teaser trailer before the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
They do?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, they usually do. Yeah.
I just didn't like Cars 1 so much. Like, it was good, and I didn't want to talk about it after that. Like, it was like, all right, it's a, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what most people's opinion is, and I think the only reason they really made Cars 2 was probably pressure from Disney to sell more toys.
Yeah, it's like.
Some are car-related items.
$1 billion in merchandising worldwide, I think they made Cars 2.
Yeah,
they're also making a new, like, attraction.
Yeah, they're making a ride Disneyland, and stuff, yeah.
Disney World. Yeah, they're making all these car-related rides, because mm-hmm. I don't know who demanded this, but...
Kids.
Kids? They really can't drive a car yet.
Kids,
so.
Kids who love Leo the Cable Guy. That
I might see a movie just for, like, Michael Caine, but that's about it.
I was hoping it would have like an Incredibles action type spin on it, but that's not what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Where's Incredibles 2, by the way?
Actually, I was reading about that today. It's funny that they're considering it for the next one after Brave.
Well, I thought next one after
Brave. But of course, we'll talk about what Brad Bird's working on next.
Yeah, but I thought like the next one after Brave was Monster University.
Oh, yeah. Then maybe after that. I don't know.
And then Toy Story 4 apparently is coming. According to Tom Hanks.
That's in the early stages. Yeah, if that's true.
So yeah, speaking of Brad Bird and Incredibles, Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol got a trailer. It's in front of Transformers: Dark of the Moon this weekend. And did you guys watch this one? I know Brian, you watched it because you texted me about it.
Yep, and I posted it on the site.
Yep.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Renner, awesome addition. Simon Pegg's gonna have a bigger role, which is awesome.
Yep.
He'll be like the tech guy. J.J. Abrams is producing, and I believe he's co-writing or something. And Brad Bird of The Incredibles, his live action debut. So he's gonna have like hopefully he'll have some crazy action scenes. Judging from the trailer, there's gonna be a lot of cool cool ones. So, mm-hmm.
Did you watch it, Chris?
Yeah, I posted on your Facebook about it too.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird because you don't need Ethan Hunt anymore.
No, and I was reading the wiki page, and they're saying that they're going to try to transition it onto Jeremy Renner.
That's the plan. It's just like,
and it's good because Cruz could be doing more movies, and I think his character's pretty much been spent.
Yeah,
I mean, each movie, like, he goes through a different phase. Like, in the first movie, he's kind of the up and rising guy. Second movie, he's like the go to guy. Third movie, he's kind of like
retired.
Yeah, he should be retired because
third one was like he was going to leave. Yeah, but then he got pulled back in.
He got married, and now because. In this movie, he better not have a romantic lead besides his wife, because...
he's got a female agent he's working with. I don't know if it's a love interest.
The wife says she died but the or thing something. Is,
yeah. And yeah. I think this one's going to be more in tone with the second one. You know, thinking back to all of those, I guess, of all the movies, the first two have, you know, wildly different tones, wildly different directors. And I think the third and the fourth one will kind of go together well, from what I see.
This one looks like a lot more grittier and darker.
Yeah.
IMF is like disbanded, or like they're disavowed, all of them.
So we catch you. We know you're good guys, but if we catch you, you're tried as a bad guy. Like, oh, they blew up the U.S. government.
They blew up the Kremlin. Yeah, it looks like some amazing action. Like that scene where like Tom Cruise like spinning, like jumping off the building and like flying to the other window and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And like some awesome car, like the car thing. You see the part where like he's in like the dust cloud or whatever. That reminded me of, like two of like when they're the motorcycle thing, kind of.
Yep. Yeah, same.
So it looks like they're taking like bits of like two and three maybe.
Yeah, but the thing is, two is a little more ridiculous. Two, yeah, it's kind of out there.
It's John Woo, so.
Yeah, that's to blame.
Hopefully, like story wise, it's more like three because three is like amazing. It's definitely one of the most underrated action movies of the past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Just because it came out with like, I think like months after the Tom Cruise couch jumping incident. So
that and the whole South Park trapped in the closet.
Yeah.
Thing.
So that comes out in December, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
16th.
So can't wait for that one. And then last trailer we're going to talk about, it was like the second Captain America trailer. Did you guys watch this one?
No, I didn't even know there was a second one.
I kind of avoid it because I want to enjoy the Captain America movie.
But it just shows a little bit more, there's a little bit more Red Skull in it, and a little more like pre-Super Soldier Steve Rogers.
So it's like that skinny...
Yeah. Benjamin Button. Steve Rogers.
Yeah. Benjamin Button.
But yeah, that movie looks fucking awesome. I can't wait for that movie.
Yep.
So moving on to other news from last week. We were talking for the last couple weeks about Quentin Tarantino's next movie, Django Unchained. And we talked about Leonardo DiCaprio was probably going to be the bad guy in that movie.
Nice.
And so then when we first heard about it, they said that Will Smith was going to be the Django, the... ex-slave turned bounty hunter, but then he left it, and it was like between Jamie Foxx, Idris Elba, and someone else. But then I guess Jamie Foxx is now, I guess, pretty much confirmed to be Django.
He's a good actor. I think that's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of wondering what Tarantino promised for, like, what he bribed Jamie Foxx to do. You know, just like, come on, I got you. Yeah, you're like the second black actor next to like Samuel Jackson. Like, there's no other actor he hires that's like African American.
Well, I guess Samuel Jackson's gonna be in this as like a house slave or something.
Oh god.
Nice.
So that movie should be pretty awesome. Hopefully it's like a good follow up to Inglourious Bastards.
Yep.
And then on other news, we got our first look at Martin Freeman as Bilbo in The Hobbit last week. Did you guys see the picture?
Yep.
He looks like he looks like a hobbit.
Excited that they're actually starting to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Martin Freeman's awesome and everything, so.
Yeah, that was a great choice.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen Sherlock yet?
No.
Like the BBC, like, reboot of Sherlock Holmes? It's on Netflix and Swatch. You should watch that. That's awesome. Martin Freeman's Watson.
Nice.
And then there's also, like, I guess there was, like, a picture of Ian McKellen as Gandalf, which is, he looked like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. So.
Yep.
The raggedy nothing really gray changed there, so. Gandalf.
Yeah, Gandalf the Gray instead of Gandalf the White, but.
Yep.
So, yep, so those movies should be pretty crazy. Since like, it's two movies, and like, the second one's just like completely original, or like mostly original stuff. Like bridging the gap between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah, I've read The Hobbit in school, but not Lord of the Rings, so it'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so last bit of news from last week came out last week that Seth Gordon, who directed King of Kong, he's directing next week's Horrible Bosses. He's directing a remake of War Games.
It'll be interesting what they'll do with all the advances in technology, where they'll go, because obviously, you know, technology's improved and security's improved.
Yeah.
Now you can't really do anything like that anymore. But yeah, I'm glad it's good to see him attached to some better fare. Mm-hmm. You know.
I hope this is better than, like, because we've had, like, a bunch of sort of, like, hacking computer movies in the last couple of years, yeah. But they've been horrible, like Eagle Eye and, Chris, remember Echelon Conspiracy?
Oh, man. only, like, me, you, and, like, two other people know of this movie.
Yeah.
And didn't Echelon come out before Eagle Eye, too?
I think it was, like, a month or two before or after it.
It's the same plot, too.
Well... Because Echelon, he had, like, a cell phone that, like, called him and, like, told, like, it seemed like he predicted the future and stuff.
Yeah, it was a supercomputer linked to an iPhone or, like, much, a prototype iPhone. And, yeah, it just, like, predicted, like, it wasn't doing anything that 45 different other, like, supercomputers could do. I remember, like, part where it was, like, telling him how to gamble.
Yep.
That was pretty funny, because it was just kind of like, bet on this now. Like, thank you, phone, for telling me how to gamble.
I've analyzed the ball and the roulette wheel.
Here are your odds. Here are my super odds. Like, pick this. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, okay, I guess you could do that. And then it just got crazy with the powers that the supercomputer could do.
Then it turns out, like, the supercomputer is, like, in this, like, shack in the middle of the desert.
Oh, my God. That was, like, this is where they're housing it. At least in Eagle Eye, they house it some sort of, like, kind of
super high tech, like globe core, like evil layer core thing.
Yeah, but even to get to that, it was protected.
Yeah,
like to get
this was like this just like broke a padlock.
Old computer plugged in through like a phone line next to an air conditioner, like in Arizona.
It was like an Apple II. And then like
it was
the most anticlimactic like hacking scene ever in a movie.
Oh man, just like they might as well just pee on it.
Enter
like,
command. That,
might as well just pee on the computer to break it.
Did he enter, like, delete programs or something? Or just some stupid...
No, they defeated it. They tried to defeat it by logic, by saying what America stood for.
Yeah.
Which was the most 5 minutes patriotic scene I've ever seen next to the president's speech in Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
It was 5 minutes of, like, the programmer trying to convince what freedom stood for. And then he said, fuck it, and let's just put viruses on this
thing. Oh, my God, yeah. Let's flood it with pop-ups. Oh man, yeah. Hopefully this new War Games is better than Echelon Conspiracy.
It's good to see another computer hacking movie like in theaters, mm-hmm. and not just like made for TV computer hacking things.
Didn't they try to make like a sequel to War?
It was War Games too.
War Games Dead Code.
Yeah, it was terrible from what I heard.
Because that was just like, that was, like 2000 something, I think, right? 2000.
No, I think like 2008.
2008.
Oh, it was pretty recent.
2009, I believe.
Wow. I remember that was on, like, Sci-Fi Channel or something. Like, they premiered it at Sci-Fi Channel.
It's possible. It was a direct-to-DVD.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, like, if they, like... I hope they don't, like, do, like, any, like, shoehorn any, like, social networking stuff in. Like, we're on the Twitch.
They will. They will. I know they will.
It's like... Like, instead of, like global thermonuclear wars, like, on Facebook or something. It's, like, a Facebook game.
I don't know. I think they'll try to tie that in somehow.
I want to see, updated Whopper. wonder who they get to like replace Matthew. Why am I blanking?
Matthew Broderick.
Yes. Who would they get to replace him? Shia LaBeouf.
Oh God, no.
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
Does he look like a guy who knows how to hack a computer?
He kind of looks like a geek.
You just have to like be able to like type on a keyboard really fast. That's hacking.
Just put some slap some glasses on him. Mm-hmm. He'll be good.
Yep.
Well, they made Angelina Jolie a hacker in Hackers, so you know anything's possible.
Yep.
So that's all the news I have. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about, or?
Nope.
Okay. So why don't we move on to the New Release Roundup, and our pick of the week this week is, speaking of The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings extended editions are on Blu-ray this week.
Cool.
So the trilogy pack, they're like, each of them are like 4 hours long now. I've never actually seen the extended editions. Have you guys seen the
Neither have I.
I have.
Are they better, Chris, or?
Yeah, if you want more story, like, you clear your whole day, because it's like a 3 hour long movie. 3.5 sometimes, yeah, like, depending on bathroom breaks.
Isn't like Fellowship like 3.5 and like Two Towers is like 3 something?
I just forgot. It was like my freshman year of college. We're just like watching this movie, and this is the first time someone introduced me to the extended edition on regular DVD. So, like, you know, college TVs are small. So
yeah.
Oh man, we're watching this movie way back in college, and I'm just like, oh, like I remember this scene. I can go use the bathroom, and then they just shove in this other scene. I'm like, I never seen this before. And this, like, that moment happens, like, 5 times. So they added, like, a total of, like, an hour mm-hmm. in that first movie that, like, I could see why they cut it. Because it's kind of like, Bilbo just kind of like, oh, I'm looking at my house for, like, 5 minutes just for no reason. Like, I'm always like, do they really, like, some scenes are like, this is not important. What the fuck's wrong with Peter Jackson? Then other scenes are kind of like,
why is it not in the movie?
Oh, this explains crucial moments. Why the fuck did I not know this in the theater? Like, you know, there's scenes from the book.
Yeah.
So, that's great. But, like, they don't need to call, like, why don't they just show this version instead of calling, like, extended scenes? Just call it, like, director's cut or something. Like this actually makes sense to the story. Some of these scenes, though.
Just because people didn't want, like, people
they
can't
they didn't want 5 extra minutes of dialogue and, like, plot?
Well, people can't stand sitting in a theater for, like, 4 hours.
They yeah. did for Grindhouse, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was 2 movies.
Yeah.
True. I remember, like, I read on Crack.com that, like, the second movie, there's actually a very important scene that, like, explains why the elves didn't show up in the first part until the end,
mm-hmm.
to, like, the siege.
Yeah.
They explain that in the... A little bit in the first movie, and more in the second movie. So, these are very important scenes. I mean, again, I read Lord of the Rings when I was in high school. Like, when the movies were, like, before they were made. So, you know, I watched the movies, like, oh, it wasn't as bad, but it was... The movies are pretty decent translation. Instead of, like, you know, the old 1970 cartoons of Lord of the Rings that kept those scenes. Like, if you watch the old cartoon versions, mm-hmm. they kept certain scenes, so it's like, okay, we'll condense, like... a 2 hour long movie into like maybe 90 minutes. They're extremely long. You waste like a third of your day like getting ready to watch this movie.
mentally preparing.
If you don't own Lord of the Rings by now, which statistically everyone owns one form of it, either in book or DVD
yeah.
or game, like statistically, like I'm a betting man and say like, yeah, someone owns something about Lord of the Rings somewhere. In their household.
Mm-hmm.
My parents already bought the regular edition, so it's really hard to convince them to buy, like, the extended or, like, the Blu-ray. It's like, oh, yeah, you need this so I can watch this.
I've heard, like, it's an awesome Blu-ray transfer.
I imagine, like, it was great in theaters. It looks
yeah
decent in like, regular, like, conversion. HD or Blu-ray, I can imagine, like, that would be perfect.
Because mm-hmm.
it's like, ooh, I can see, like, the sweat and, like, the makeup.
I can see each individual orc.
The darks are dark and the blues are blue.
Yep, so that is out this week. And then, man, there are some winners out this week on DVD as well. Kick it off, Sucker Punch is out this week. Probably the worst movie I've seen this year.
Gotta see that eventually.
I would say watch it and then just what? I would say watch it and just skip to each to like all the action sequences and don't even watch the story. Sort of like like how Jason X on a DVD had like skip to a kill. I say like I wish they had like a skip to an action scene in this one. But I think it's like the director's cut too, so it's like 18 more minutes of this. Which I'm sure is like 18 more minutes of like girls crying and stuff.
Oh god.
It's such a weird movie because it's supposed to like empower girls and like, you know, be your like gain self-esteem, like channel your inner warrior to like overcome impossible odds. Mm-hmm. But like
use your body to distract men.
And in actuality, like I like read the plot and I was like surprised how the movie comes out, and it's like it's a weird message because I can't tell if Zack Snyder is kind of like is trying to, you know, tell women to like be themselves or just like submit. Like I really don't know. It's a very confusing plot. Probably seeing it will help clarify a few questions, so
mm-hmm.
get my answers.
Like, the action sequences are amazing in that movie, but, like, everything else is terrible. So, yeah, I'd say, like, watch the 15 minutes of action in that movie and then just leave it. Or wait till, like, those action sequences come on YouTube or something. Yeah, so that is out. And then also Beastly is out this week. The Twilightified Beauty and the Beast.
Rango!
What?
Is it Rango,
yeah.
Or?
I was quoting the SNL digital short they did on Beastly.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it. So no.
Oh.
I thought you said Rango.
Yeah, I remember that.
I guess that's probably a couple weeks, right? No. But yeah, Beastly.
Yep. Yeah, it is, actually.
Beastly! Also, Season of the Witch is finally out this week. After coming out.
Wow, I can finally get around to not watching that.
It came out like the first week in January, and it's just coming out now.
What the hell is Season of the Witch?
It looks...
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, that one.
Nicolas Cage and Ron Perlman. Yeah, they transport a witch to, like, a monastery.
I just keep referring that movie in my head as Nicolas Cage, like, Medieval Times. Like, that's all I keep repeating in my head.
Medieval Times.
Nicolas Cage in Medieval Times.
Oh, these are some medieval times.
I would like
a car I could take.
I would like a Pepsi with my dragon burger. I'm going to cheer for the Black and White Knight. And then something I'm sure you're
going to let the dragon back in the box.
We're going to steal this book of magic and the president. Sorry. So something I'm sure you're excited about, Chris. Rizzoli and Isle season 1 is out this week.
Hell yeah, awkward lesbian tension.
season 2 starts.
I watched an episode of that, and they're like lying in bed together talking about a case, and like, are they lesbians?
Because you know, I'm kind of the only reason why I like it is one, because it has like really quasi forensics in it, and two, the crime's really like. They're always, like, towards young people. There's never, like, a case where it's, like, an old person. It's always, like, someone in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
And in New York, that's a lot. Like, it's just funny how they focus in more on that. But you know how, like, crime shows go? Whenever it's, like, a guy and girl partner, there's always this weird sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bones, Fringe, Hawaii 50.
CSI.
CSI. Well, CSI, not really. There used to be, and there isn't. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all those cop shows. So it's really weird to see, like, two girls, like, be buddies, and it's like, they hate men. Or, like, they kind of, no, hate men, but they kind of, like, draw them away. They always, like, oh, can I do a background check on you if you want to be my boyfriend? It's kind of like, whoa. Crazy. But I kind of like it. Only because I like the crime aspects and the crazy, like, Brooklyn girls, like, I'm a cop!
Are you reading the books, Chris?
There's books? There's literature that goes with this?
This show is based on a series of books. The books came first.
No, I can't read. No, it's kind of weird. I can't imagine in my head if I go to, like, Borders or Barnes & Nobles and just, like, get, like, 5 Rizzoli and Isle books and just, like, slam it on the counter. look the cashier straight in the eye like, yes, I want all this ringed up now.
Yes.
Sir, the DVDs are over there.
I need my girly medical examiner, my tomboy cop.
Yeah. Like, do I find him near the romance aisle? Is it a special interest?
It's by crime.
Crime. I'm just waiting for Hawthorne to come on DVD. Like,
oh, God.
That's my summer.
What about Memphis Beat? That Jason Lee show? That's sort of like,
you know, I like Jason Lee, like, but I wish he was like, back to My Name is Earl. So.
It's like blues flavor Justified, kind of, but probably not as good.
Probably not. Chris is still hooked on Franklin and Bash.
Watch one episode. It was I didn't watch all of it either. I just kind of flipped it on. Watched, like, Zach Morris kind of like, I'm a lawyer. Like, all right, just turn it off.
You know what's funny is I saw the previews for Necessary Roughness on USA.
Oh, God.
That must have took, like, 3 seconds to come up with an exec meeting, especially the title.
Well, just,
oh, my God.
It's the USA formula of, like, a blank gets fired from blank and joins blank.
Pretty much. Characters welcome.
Not anymore. I'm not welcoming those characters.
Oh, wait, I'm kind of confused. Is the movie, is that show about, like, the woman's trying to help the football player, but, like, she's not licensed or anything?
I think she's licensed, but, she, like, her husband, like, she was, like, living with her husband who had, like, all the money or something, and she's a therapist, kind of, or something. But then, like, her husband cheats on her, so she has, like, fend for herself now.
She's got the toughest client who knows how to go out of bounds.
Maybe she'll score a touchdown. 2 points.
And, like, is she supposed to be hyped up to be more attractive than she is? Because I was really kind of confused about, like, why is it, like, this mid-50-year-old housewife, like,
she's always
attractive now?
I think she's been on, like, every other USA show.
Just bouncing around.
She was, like, a thief on Burn Notice and, like, a thief on White Collar.
Surprisingly not a thief again.
Mm-hmm. She was in that Burn Notice episode where, like, they thought her son got kidnapped, and then she was, like, tricking them the whole time.
Oh.
I think she actually came back for episode two, like, another episode later.
Yeah, I think so, too. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, our weekly TNT USA show talk. Also this week, we have Ancient Aliens Season 2, which is a History Channel show that's trying to figure out if aliens visited us in the ancient past. Did aliens build the pyramids?
Possibly.
That's the whole show. It's like, what are these ancient symbols that look like UFOs? Are they aliens? Was Atlantis real? Like, I can,
you know,
I can show being a special, like, I guess, like, an hour special of that, but, like, I don't know how you do, like, a weekly show of that.
I actually like that Jesse Ventura show where he goes around and finds conspiracies.
Oh, yeah.
I want him to see that. Instead of, like, political or, like, government conspiracies, I want to see Jesse Ventura, like, proving Atlantis was real.
Like, breaking into Area 51.
Did he ever do that? Like, did he make it there? Because I don't see his commercials anymore for that.
Maybe they killed him. The camo guys got him.
Shit.
The black helicopters.
The silent helicopters.
Yep. And also this week, Warehouse 13 Season 2, that sci-fi show no one watches. Where, like, they have to go out and, like, find artifacts and bring them back to the warehouse. Which, I watched the pilot of the show, and I could not stand it. Because, like, the artifact was, like, this brooch, like, this, like, hair brooch that, like, apparently, because the guy was, like, he was, like, driving angrily one day, and because, like, the head of the warehouse is, like, he, like, analyzes, like patterns to, like, figure out if there's an artifact around. So this one guy was, like, yelling at his wife and stuff, so he's like, oh my God, it must be an artifact involving that guy. So, yeah, they went out, and, like, they had to dunk the artifact in, like, this purple goop to, like, contain its power and stuff. It's just stupid.
Well, it's, what, is it, it's not a remake, it's a...
It's a, it's, It's basically like if the warehouse from Raiders of the Lost Ark was like,
right.
If they had like have a show about that.
I mean, that's like, it's kind of cool, but I guess I just don't have time to watch that. It seems kind of fun, but I guess if they're doing that approach, it seems stupid.
They're trying too hard to be like funny and stuff too.
Well, it's, yeah, you like, go one way or the other. Yeah. Don't be serious about a fun house full of cool shit, you know?
Yeah. Because, like, the one guy's like, I'm the wacky guy. And the like, girl's like, I'm the serious girl.
Like, have you ever seen how a real warehouse works? If you have one or two clowns, they usually get fired.
Yeah.
You know, they're the first people to get fired. Now, make a whole show based
like,
on them. Like
forklift races and stuff.
Yeah. Let's mystery eat something out of these boxes.
What's this purple goop taste like?
No, you died, you lose.
Yep, so that is out. Also, Reboot, the Mainframe Edition, is on Amazon.com now. That is the whole, every possible thing you could want from Reboot. The entire show is in one collection now. I hear crickets.
Well... I waited forever for Reboot to be, like, any format besides VHS, So I don't know what to say about that, because I think I watched most of the episodes of Reboot.
And it's $45, not really memorable. $46 for all of Reboot.
Why do they call it Mainframe Edition, though?
Because the city was called Mainframe. I don't know. So you always have to have, like, a catchy thing for your special editions.
True. I don't know. It seems weird. It's like it's come full circle, you know?
Full circle from what? Nothing about Reboot?
Well, no, it's come full circle, because I remember Beast Wars came out on DVD,
yeah.
And they're like, oh man, like, what other CGI crappy kind of cartoon, like, crappy design is going to come out?
It's the same,
and then,
it's the same
like,
company
finally.
That does it. Shout Factory. They've been doing, like, they've been doing Transformers and G.I. Joe and Beast Wars and Reboot.
I mean, maybe a drunk Christmas buy or something.
And last thing out this week is The Warrior's Way, which I don't know if you guys remember that. That came out in October of last year.
That looked terrible.
Yes, it did.
Bad.
That put dishonor in my culture.
Ninjas versus cowboys.
Cowboys versus ninjas.
Jeffrey Rush is in it for some reason.
As a cowboy.
Damn, ninjas. It's the only thing I remember from that trailer.
I remember that chick just sword fighting, and I was like, I'm done.
I think that was like the fourth or fifth like worst box office performer of last year. Because we had like a million, like he made like $2 million or something like that. Said, I don't know, long delayed coming to DVD. I'm surprised it didn't come out like a week after it came out in theaters.
I mean, that was a bad movie, so.
Did you see it, or are you just assuming it's a bad movie, Chris?
I know my, like, weird quasi-Asian martial art movies, and this was, like, worse than Ninja Warrior. Ninja Assassin.
It looked worse than Ninja Assassin. Ninja Assassin was horrible.
So, man, Ninja Assassin set the bar for, like, terrible Asian dialogue, so.
Rain.
I mean, he's a very pretty ninja, but.
Sensation Rain. Anyway, That's it for New York Roundup, so I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Everything I Should Cast. Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about.
No.
Okay. So was that just,
I think we're like,
was that Justin Timberlake?
Besides Transformers Dark of the Moon. I mean,
wait, was that?
Was that Justin Timberlake from the Barry Gibb talk show?
Yes, it was. Okay. Thank you.
So if you want more from the Everything Action, I guess, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. Find all our stuff that we write on there. See, watch trailers, read news, a bunch of features, including musical montage, which were our new feature where we look at music from movies. And I actually... Because Transformers is out this week, I did a recap of the soundtrack for Transformers the movie, the 86 classic cartoon. Of of course had the classic Stan Bush, you have The Touch and Dare. Probably one of the greatest soundtracks of all time.
Definitely 80s.
Mm-hmm. Weird Al is on that soundtrack.
Was Dokken in it?
No, but Spectre General was on that. And NRG. And Lion.
Is it okay for me to to not remember half of these guys?
No one knows who they are.
I don't even think they knew who they are. No. So. Fine.
Mm-hmm. And a bunch of other stuff. Everything Action Theater is actually, Hulu's actually had a bunch of stuff coming up that we can embed on our website. So you can watch the original Godzilla on everythingaction.com. You can watch Clerks up there. So a bunch of other stuff if you want to waste a couple hours.
Do it. You know you won't do it. Do it.
I dare you to do it. So we're also on Twitter. Twitter.com/EVAction is the Twitter account for Everything Action. And you can see news stories as they go up. Joe also posts a bunch of retweets and links to a bunch of news stories. And sometimes he live blogs movies. Like a couple weeks ago, he live blogged Drive Angry. So let's follow EV Action on Twitter for all that good stuff. And we're also on Facebook. But if you search for Everything Action on Facebook, you can join our group. And you can also see news stories as they go up on there. You can comment on them there. You can send us links if you find anything cool on the internet that we should see. Action-related or whatever, movie-related. And you can also chat with us if we're on. So everythingaction on Facebook, search for it. And you can send us email at contact@everythingaction.com. And you can find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action. Subscribe to the podcast on there. Rate us, leave comments. Also, there's our app you can download. It's free. It's for your iPhone, iPod Touch. And it gives you the last 20 news stories. And you can also listen to the podcast on there. So for Brian and Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.